Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
It's agreed by many students of history that the Bible is the most important book ever written, as it has made the greatest impact of all the other books ever produced on the lifestyle and behaviour of people down through the centuries. It has vital information about the origin of all things and their meaning, which would otherwise be lost to human beings. The Bible is a library of 66 books written over 1,500 years by about 40 different contributors, 30 in the Old Testament and 10 in the New Testament. For example, the Psalms are a collection of the works of several authors, of whom King David of Israel is the best known. Who was there to watch the days of creation? Only God the Father, God the Son, and God's Spirit. We're told what happened and how. We accept this by faith. Scientists can repeat an experiment over and over again to get the same result. But the universe was created only once, and there are no repeats, and this is why it's called special creation. Only the book of Genesis even attempts to account for the ultimate origin of matter, space, and time. In John's Gospel chapter 1 it says, "All things were made through him," that's Jesus, "and without him nothing was made that was made." This creation out of nothing is unique to God. He shouldn't be likened to a potter who makes a pot from the clay at hand. God makes both the clay and the pot. There's nothing like this in human experience, and so it's often rejected from a lack of understanding. On day one of creation, God made the heavens and the earth, but the earth was an empty planet of darkness covered with water. God commanded that there be light, and it came into being. God then separated the light from the darkness and called the light day. He called the darkness night, and this is what happened on day one. Today's Bible adventure deals with days two and three of creation.
And God said,
"Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters."
And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said,
"Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear."
And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said,
"Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb-yielding seed, and the fruit tree after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth."
And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb-yielding seed after his kind, and the tree-yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day.
On day two, God further prepared the earth for living things to inhabit it. There's no suggestion in the Bible that there was a long gap after day one and before God continued to further refine his work on the earth. The night and day cycle God put in place on day one means that the earth was by then rotating on its axis. The light on one side corresponded to the sun, even though the sun had not yet been made. It is equally clear that the length of such days could only have been that of a normal solar day. If there was any other explanation, like long ages between the days, the writer of Genesis would have to have conveyed that, but he didn't. It's written as is for us to believe it, not to interpret the words into anything else to convey a different meaning. During the period of darkness at night, God did no further work. Verse 3 is the first record of God speaking in the Bible. In verse 1, God the Father is the source of all things. In verse 2, it's God's Spirit who is the energizer of all things. And in verse 3, It is the Word, that is, the Lord Jesus, who reveals all things. On day two, God made the heavens and the earth, the atmosphere and a division between the water in the earth and the water in the sky. The earth wasn't watered by rain until Noah's flood. It was watered by dew or ground fog. The waters above the earth provided some sort of protective vapor canopy above the atmosphere circling the earth to provide a global greenhouse effect. The climate was very pleasant because Adam and Eve didn't need to wear clothes for warmth. Everyone has heard of the dinosaurs and how huge some of them grew. At least until Adam and Eve were sent out of the Garden of Eden as sinners, the dinosaurs were all vegetarians, and how they could eat. Furthermore, the Earth's atmosphere before Noah's flood was also different, so things grew much larger than they do today. With plenty of lush growth among shrubs and trees, these giant dinosaurs are familiar to everyone because of their huge sizes. Some had unique body shapes of a long neck and tail with a tiny head to reach up high into the vegetation. It must have been rich food, for some grew up to 134 feet long, or 41 meters from nose to tail. They stood 40 to 60 feet tall when fully grown, and were estimated to weigh up to 80 tons. God made the Earth a planet uniquely suitable for human use. He created oxygen and liquid water, both of which are vital to the survival of human beings. No other place in the whole universe has been found to have such elements that can support human life. On day three, God divided the dry land, called Earth, from the seas. He set limits for the seas so that they could not return again over the land. In recent years, there's been much talk about climate change and how the oceans will rise and cover many islands. Some people in the Pacific Ocean region are very concerned with the extent of what the levels of the sea might rise to, reducing their islands to much smaller land masses, if not covered completely. These people are afraid that they might need to leave their homes and heritage and move to larger continent land masses. However, we all need to remember that it is God who sets the limits on the seas. God caused the land to produce grasses, trees, and herbs. Grass includes all spreading ground-covering vegetation. Herbs includes all bushes and shrubs. And trees include all large woody plants, including fruit-bearing trees. It's important to note that these plants were not planted as seeds, but created as full-grown trees capable of reproducing themselves. The whole universe was made to function fully and completely right from the very first creation week. God created many different types of plants with a genetic code that was distinctly their own. This would enable them to reproduce again and again, generation after generation, faithfully to their kind. While there are some variations within each kind of plant, there are also limits to what variations can occur. The claims that all living plants are interrelated by common ancestors are not true. Since the DNA code has been broken and now better understood, it is evident that the biblical teaching on the stability within every living kind has been proven. The formation of plants, even such complex forms as fruit trees, took place before the creation of any form of animal life. This is quite logical, but it does flatly contradict the evolutionary system, which has marine animals living hundreds of millions of years before fruit trees and other higher plants came about somehow. Many plants require pollination by insects, but insects weren't made until the sixth day of creation. This in itself argues against the possibility that the days of creation could have been long ages or periods of time. Each day God checked his work, and he found that it was good. Although God seemed to accomplish so much in the daylight hours each day, the Hebrew words for evening and morning are used more than 100 times in the Old Testament, and their meaning is literally always the same. It might challenge our minds to understand and accept that the lands, seas, and all the plants were created in one literal day. But that is exactly what the Bible says. That's how great God is. Jesus only needed to speak, and the greatest stars in the universe were created. Despite our inclination to believe what we think, we're not justified at all in either questioning God's power to do this or his absolute truthfulness in telling us what he did. So what else can we learn about our Creator God, apart from his incredibly great power and inability to tell lies? God's holiness sets God apart from all created things. His majesty and perfect moral purity show that there is absolutely no sin or evil thought in God at all. He's 100% good and beyond the power of evil and how it works. God possesses perfect knowledge. Often people think that they can fool God, but he always knows what's going on, even in a person's mind or feelings. Not only is God all-knowing, but he's present everywhere. This truth is taught throughout the Bible as the phrase, "I am with you always," and is repeated 22 times in both the Old and New Testaments. These were even Jesus' words of reassurance after challenging his disciples to take his message to the entire world. This is certainly a comforting truth for all who follow Jesus. It's a comfort to know that God makes no mistakes and he truly knows best. He's sovereign and his wisdom is beyond our ability to understand his decisions or his ways. God never changes either. This eliminates the uncertainty of any inconsistency we think we see in God's methods of dealing with individuals in their particular circumstances. This is why the Bible says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." The Bible shows God revealing himself in three persons. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all called God, given worship as God, exist eternally, and are involved in doing things that only God could do. Although God reveals himself in three persons, God is one and cannot be divided. All are involved completely whenever one of the three is active. Jesus said that he only does the will of his Father who sent him and does nothing apart from him. In John chapter 5, the Lord Jesus also said, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. All other life in the universe is a gift from God. He has no needs and there is no way he can improve. To God, nothing else is necessary. He doesn't need our help with anything, but because of his grace and love, he allows us to be a part of advancing his plan on earth and being a blessing to others. We are the ones who change, but never does God need to. He is self-sufficient. Everything that God has promised will come to pass. Our hope of eternal life rests on his faithfulness. Yet he assures us that he will honor his promise of forgiveness for our sins so that we can live forever with him. The goodness of God further explains why he bestows all the blessings he does on his followers. God's actions define what goodness is, and we can easily see it in the way Jesus related to the people around him. That's why Paul in the New Testament taught, "Do not repay evil for evil, but overcome evil by doing good." God is just. Yet, it is his character that defines what being just really means. God being just brings moral fairness to everyone. Where there are evil acts, justice demands there be a penalty. However, because of his love, God paid the penalty for our evil deeds by going to the cross himself, so we don't have to. God's justice needed to be satisfied, but he took care of it on behalf of all who will believe and trust this truth through the Lord Jesus Christ. Since God's justice is sanctified in Jesus, he is free to show mercy to all those who have chosen to follow him. Mercy is the way he desires to relate to people, and he does so unless the person chooses to despise or ignore God. At such a time, God's justice is his prominent attribute. Love is such an important part of God's character that the Apostle John wrote, "God is love." This means that God holds the well-being of others as his primary concern. And this is the description of our Creator God in the Bible. All other ideas about God that are different to what is in the Bible are, according to the Bible, false. They are from the imagination of mankind. By learning the attributes of God and reading and believing your Bible, you may praise God for who he really is and for how each of his attributes impacts your life in a positive way. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound at the website BibleRadio.org. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus.